Welcome to the weekly comprehensive Bible study with Reverend David Paxton, where scripture comes alive, truth is uncompromised, and believers are equipped for these prophetic times. Your journey into God's word begins now.
Now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. This is our Bible study show. Hey, Joel, that just sounds weird saying like Reverend David, you know, what does that even mean?
Hey, you know, I told you, even though that you've got the official title now, you know, and all that stuff, you're still David. Okay.
Yeah. Just call me David.
You're still David. But
I mean, it's nice when when people come knocking and ask for that stuff. I'm like, well, here, now go away.
You know what's really going to be cool for you, David, is now that you got that title and everything, you're going to find out how nice people are going to be to you now when they talk to you.
Yeah, I just need that little white collar, I guess. I am going to take advantage of the parking things I could get for around the city.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. Well, I'm you know, I need to get one of those for a handicap, you know, because of my everything.
I'm on a mission.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, New York City's got all sorts of different ones, so that's one of them. So there you go. That's my story. I'm sticking
awesome.
To it.
So that's awesome.
Listen, it is what we term the holidays, is it not?
It is. Yeah,
it is between Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and Hanukkah, if you're so inclined.
Right.
Although the Hanukkah is not as celebrated as the High Holy Days in most Jewish communities. However, it fits into the season of joy and peace and love and all that cool stuff. But obviously, it's about Jesus, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. So there's two camps, right? There's some that say, you know, Christmas is ultra pagan and we want nothing to do with it. And, you know, Santa is just a misspelling of Satan. And I mean, all sorts of rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And then there's the others say, well, it's not really that way, but it, I mean, it's obviously not perfect. But, you know, we're just going to celebrate the birth of Christ ourselves.
Right.
And they do. And that's what we do.
That's the way I choose. That is exactly the way I choose to do it.
Now, when was he born? Don't know.
No, don't know.
Probably in the, when he come to dwell with us, the Feast of Tabernacles, or when all the sheeps are actually born in like early spring the sheeps, they're all born at the same time. So, but there's a clue in the Bible, and it says that all the shepherds were in the field. Well, they're not in the field in the winter.
Yeah, that's true.
So there, that's out. And I mean, you got to give it to Constantine. At least he tried to find some day to pick to celebrate Christ's birthday. But the thing about it, I mean, they just didn't celebrate birthdays back then.
Right.
That wasn't a thing, okay? Mm-hmm. They celebrate more, you know, the day of your death, actually, when you went home. But
did you know that, you know, birthdays weren't really celebrated even here for a long, long time? I mean, you know, people were born here in this country, and they didn't really know what the actual birthday was.
Yeah, pilgrims, all that stuff.
Yeah,
I guess we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that actually, if you're going to say, oh, Christmas is pagan, well, then you can't celebrate your birthday either, because what do you think candles on a cake is? It's from pagan traditions. Hello?
You make it what you make it. That's the way I look at it. You make it what you make
it. That's where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I got right now, I got too many candles, so they don't allow me. The fire department came last year.
Yeah, and I gave up on the candle thing.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
I was just like, listen, I don't need a cake. Just send money.
Yeah, I would prefer not to celebrate another day or another year at this point.
If anybody wants to send me money for my birthday, which was in September,
a celebration, you know, of your birthday. It's a celebration that you made it to your birthday at this point.
Yeah, made it another year.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Only a few left. I wish Jesus would come back. All right, but I digress. I bring all that up to say, hey, how do we enter into the presence of God?
Yeah,
and it kind of fits right into this whole season, and it's literally Thanksgiving, praise, and worship.
Yeah,
Okay. And they, now all of those might not be exactly what you think they are.
Okay.
So that's pretty fun. So I wanted to dig into that today. And this is all sorts of, hey, Joel's questions day.
Yeah, it is. Especially because I just got the notes like an hour before we went on. So I haven't even had time to really look at them yet.
let's go down there. So it's enough for 8 hours of talking, you know me and my notes.
Yeah.
So we'll just hit what we can today. Okay. But Thanksgiving basically opens the gates, let's say. Okay. So you really can't get anything done unless you're giving thanks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting. We'll get into that. And praise will enter the courts. So you start to get into the outer courts, the gates, and then the inner courts. Praise and in worship is really like standing before the throne.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm right off the top. You nailed it. You're going to get more questions today. Entering the courts. Okay. Now that you didn't say entering the court, but the courts. So there's got to be multiple levels there. Can you explain that?
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter its courts with praise. That one. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. That's Psalm 100, verse 4.
Okay.
And be thankful. Matter of fact, let's read it right now.
Okay.
100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. He's telling you right there, this is how you get things done in the kingdom.
Okay.
All right. And so, let's just get one. Matter of fact, even the Holy of Holies, that's what it is. You're kind of from the outer court. There's always three, right? Outer courts, inner courts, Holy of Holies.
Okay. Three. All right? That's what I was trying to get at. I didn't even notice that you had it down here, enter his gates. It's right there. And then I look at it. Okay. Go ahead.
That's a holy, and even the Lord's Prayer. We come in the Lord's Prayer is our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a whole thankful prayer of entering the courts. And he is the great judge of all the courts.
Amen.
And the high court. So that's pretty cool. So it all goes back to generational contracts again. Everything does. So in Thanksgiving, we acknowledge God's goodness.
Okay.
You cannot have the grace of God unless you are thankful. Did you know that?
True. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I didn't know it, but that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't think this. And so people pray, oh God, heal me. God, I need your help. And that's not how he said to pray. He said, be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do instead of that, you say, thank you, Father, because you already healed me through the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's way different.
Yeah.
Okay. Because now, number one, you're acknowledging in the court the legal document of the blood of Jesus. That is a document that's sealed, paid off all of your debt. So if you paid off all your debt, then sin can't reign in your life, and all this maliciousness has to go.
Well,
you
got to
be thankful for it.
Yeah, I've got to, I don't know if ask or tell at this situation, but I have heard many people many times say, I just can't believe in God because, this terrible thing happened to me and I said a prayer and nothing happened, And so, I look at them and say, okay, well, before that, when was the last time that you said a prayer?
Yeah.
When was the last time
you said thanks?
Yeah. And you will be surprised, when people say, well, I didn't need it then, I needed it now. I didn't need it then. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that, David.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a little bit different situation, but the principle is the same. In James 4, he says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may be consumed upon your lust. Now, he's talking about, hey, can you please give me a brand new Mercedes? That's a little, different.
Yeah.
But it's the same principle as being unthankful. You come and, it's not a shopping list. You come to God with your shopping list.
Right.
It's a relationship.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, if I want to go and I want to have a great evening with my wife, and we're going to have a wonderful time together, you know, maybe some dinner, movie, whatever, just spending time together. What would be like if I came in and said, hey, I need you to do this, and that's it, is what's better, that or, hey, I just want to thank you for being a wonderful bride. For, you know, always taking care of me and thinking of me, and, you know, you take care of yourself. I appreciate that, and working hard, and, you know, you always love me no matter what my faults are. Thank you for that.
Wow.
Which evening you think is going to go better?
If I said something like that to Anita, she would say, what did you do or what did you want?
Has the meth dealer showed up in town?
Good. Great.
Exactly, uh-huh. But a simple thank you. It doesn't have to be so lushy like that, but just, hey, you know, thanks for making dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it. What's the atmosphere that changes?
I do that, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for doing this. Thanks for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that song, thank you for giving to the Lord. You know, and 1,000 years from now, all those people you gave to would be in heaven. You'd be like, whoa, that was great.
Yeah.
I should go back and do some more. But yeah, that's thankful, because Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. So showing gratitude, there you go. Be thankful.
Yeah.
Number one, that's it. We got an unshakable kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that I live in your kingdom. And that no matter the chaos and mayhem that goes down here, they're twins, by the way, that goes on here on earth, that we have this kingdom which cannot be shaken and will be there shortly. And I thank you for that. Now, your kingdom, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Father, for this kingdom. And he's like, oh, fantastic. I'm going to bring that kingdom right to you right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it goes. And that's it. And it says in all that you do. All right. So in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Mm-hmm. Well, there's three times in one passage, so it's probably important.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to be thankful, or you can't have the grace of God unless you're thankful.
Right.
Okay. And so there's demonstrations of this, too, because God always provides corroborating evidence in the courts, does he not?
He does.
Yes. He does. You want to read John 6:6, how it unlocks the supernatural power of God?
Sure. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now, I got to tell you, just in case this happens, my printer is not printing every word perfectly.
Oh, it's like pick and choose words, or?
Well, no, it's like some of them are not. I guess the printer's running out of ink.
I see.
So anyway,
is
I got
there
through
a staple
that.
Nearby?
I think I got through that one. You know, but
yeah, they're fishes. Okay. Well, what's the first sentence says? He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks,
there you go.
So he's given thanks because why? Because did he come up and say, oh, God, we only got this little bit. Could you please do this? Or, oh, we're crying. Oh, God, we don't have enough food for all these people. What are we gonna? You know, none of that nonsense. All right. Oh, God.
Well, you know, it says here also that after he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples.
Yeah.
So now I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe there was a second of thought of the disciples of like, okay, he just gave us food and all these people are sitting around here and they're going to want some too, and we don't have any more. Or, I don't know how they would have responded.
Yeah, right?
Or was it so abundant that they knew right off the top that they were good?
That's a really good point, because now he didn't beg for it. He didn't ask. He didn't say anything other than I thank you. And then mm-hmm. in the other one, it says, because you always hear me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that you hear me, he says. Mm-hmm. So that's how you come to Lord, with giving him thanks for the things you want. Amen. Father, I know that you know that I need to pay off the mortgage. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's late. So I come to you and I thank you, Father, that your word says you provide for all my needs mm-hmm. and that, you know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. So thank you for that. Thank you for paying off my mortgage. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of you looking at your limited sight, you're here, mm-hmm. right? I can see 2 feet in front of me mm-hmm. saying, well, I have no idea what's beyond this 2 feet, but I do know that God knows what's beyond that 2 feet.
Amen.
And he said that he's going to take care of me. So I just trust him. And when you're thankful in the midst of chaos and mayhem, the twins, then that's saying, I believe your word. And how do we overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb, which is the contract, and the word of our testimony. You got to speak the word.
Amen.
So we give thanks. Oh, your word says, I will enter your gates with thanksgiving, and then courts with praise we'll get into, and then we'll be thankful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, if you're not getting your prayers answered, it's because you're not thankful. It's as simple as that.
Well, I know.
Thank him for.
I know I was a part of a church, again, same one that I keep referring to. It was the best church I was ever in my life.
Better not give their name.
Greatest church. I will. It's Oak Drive Baptist Church in Mesquite.
Oh,
Baptist.
No.
Yeah. I will blast it out there. Okay. It's an awesome church. And one of the things about it was we had situations where we needed something, where the church needed something, you know, whether mm-hmm. it was lighting or at one time we needed an electronic sign out front because the way the church was located, it was, believe it or not, even though it was on a heavy highway, it was hard to even notice there was a church there. It's just the way the placement was, it was just strange, okay? And mm-hmm. so we needed a sign, but we didn't have money for it. And the pastor was very clear, you know, if we're supposed to have this, God will give it to us, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't remember exactly how the prayer went or whatever, but I know we got an electronic sign. I know we did that. Okay.
There you go.
You know, so everything that you're saying makes perfect sense to me because I've actually lived it.
Yes. And it's thankfulness. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you had talked about the disciples. What were they thinking? Apparently, it made a big impact on John, because later in a chapter in John 6:23, it says, howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, and after that, the Lord had given thanks.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he didn't say, hey, God begged for it, or Jesus begged for it. He didn't say, you know, he went and, you know, did three Hail Marys or mm-hmm. or lit candles and, you know, no, he just where he had given thanks. All he did was give thanks. And all these people.
And it's clear there, David, it says after. I mean, it's not, you know, before he'd given thanks. It says after the Lord had given thanks.
Yeah.
So that's when
happened. They ate the bread. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the King James. We probably should have put it in other words. So, after the time that he had given thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After the moment he had given thanks.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good point.
Okay.
So unthankfulness is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Dangerous. Dangerous. I'm singing a lot today. Sorry.
Yeah. You're just a happy.
I'm
Thanksgiving.
Thankful.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We might as well have thanks, right?
Yeah.
We're good.
All right. So, you know, because we're in What Have the Romans Ever Done for Us? Mm-hmm. Chapter 121.
Mm-hmm.
And that is. Check this out. Matter of fact, I throw this. This goes out a lot in the atheist groups. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And we know what happens to them next. That's why God put all that sin on them and homosexuality mm-hmm. and pervertedness and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why they got it, because they were unthankful.
Mm-hmm.
And then it echoes that in 2 Timothy 3, and it says, this know also, in the last days, that's us, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's pretty dangerous.
That's all happening. Yeah, that's all happening.
Mm-hmm. So don't be unthankful. So that's a key phrase, people. If in fact you're wondering, you know, why your prayers aren't answered, try being thankful.
Just then try praying more than just whenever you need something. You know, I mean, that's the big point for me. You know, if you go like months or years and you're not having any relationship with the Lord, and then all of a sudden you just decide, okay, well, today I need something, so I'm going to go to God.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out too well. Yeah, it's just not going to work out too well, at least not in my opinion. Okay, David, it looks like I've got some pretty good print here for a while.
Oh, okay, so, we can read it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything about lentils? No?
About what?
Lentils. My wife made lentil soup. I was wondering if I sent you the
wrong menu. I don't
think
I've ever even had that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
So now we'll move on to praise. Mm-hmm. We understand you must be thankful. You're not going to get anything from God unless you're thankful first.
Right.
Okay. And if you're unthankful, you're going to get chaos and mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
The twins. C&M twins. So we're going to move to praise, and that's where we acknowledge God's greatness. Okay. Amen. Now, Thanksgiving, we acknowledge his goodness, thankful for all the stuff you've given us. Mm-hmm. Now we acknowledge his greatness, and that says, wow, you've done some wonderful things. You're like, all those stars. And you know how many stars there are?
No, nobody does, except God. Okay.
Well, just the ones that they've been able to somewhat calculate,
mm-hmm.
there is enough stars in the observable universe now with our equipment and all, mm-hmm. that every single living human being can have 11 trillion stars of their own.
Mm. That's incredible.
Mm. So imagine that. That's a lot. And those are the ones we can see.
Yeah.
You know, imagine the ones that we can't see yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And just as a side note, if the universe was billions of years old, you wouldn't see arms spinning on the galaxies. They would have dissipated by now. Mm. So there's that.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's more evidence that nobody wants to pay attention to.
Yeah. And you know what? They all look the same, no matter how far away they are. Well, if they were all, you know, different time zones and we're looking millions of years in the past, how come this one isn't further along than that one? Because of our observable universe. It doesn't make any sense.
Not at all.
Because they all look the same. The mm-hmm. same amount of spin. Yeah. Anyway, but I digress. Mm. All right. Praise. So our praise should be in proportion to his greatness, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Since you can read it, you want to read Psalm 48?
Sure.
And 100.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness.
All right. He's greatly to be praised. Mm-hmm. And so you list the reasons. And, you know, you know what I like? It's in the Apocrypha, and it's actually right after Daniel chapter 3, and I have no clue why they took it out other than the Masoretic text, but the Septuagint has it. And it's the prayer of Azariah.
Okay.
Remember the three Hebrew boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, it was Azariah, and I keep forgetting the other one. Anyway, they're Hebrew names.
Okay.
But sometimes it's called the prayer of the three Hebrew children. Mm. Depends on where you get it. But it was a prayer. And remember when they were tossed in the furnace?
Yes.
Okay. And they were, and then all the people around them, because it was so hot, they got all burnt up, but nothing touched them. It's because they were singing the praise. And if you read the prayer of Azariah, it is like 10 minutes straight of praise him, you mountains, and praise him, you birds, and praise him, you trees, and praise him, you jellyfish.
I've heard that. I know I have. That's been that was taught to me at an early age from somewhere. So, I've heard that.
I made a video, and it's got all the flames around it. And that's what it does. It just says that it just repeats that whole prayer, and it's like really long.
Yeah.
And so, and essentially they're just, that's all they're doing the whole time in there. Praise him for this and praise him for that and praise him for tornadoes. And that's why they didn't get burnt, because there was a tornado in the middle of it where the Lord was standing. And, you know, just like the eye of a storm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was completely calm in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's just like a hurricane or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's what it says. And mm-hmm. they're praising the Lord, and he came in and caused a tornado in there, so they didn't get burned up.
Right.
And he's in there with them, hanging out. I wonder, were they like playing the mahjong or something? What were they doing? Or just praising him? Maybe having some tea.
Mm. Wow.
They didn't have coffee back then, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. But they're hanging out with Jesus, you know, and he glows in the dark, and he's all shiny. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a shiny guy in there. Didn't we throw three in there? There's another shiny guy.
Yeah, there's four. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three went in, four came out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Psalm 100, we read that already. You want to read it again?
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations.
We praise you, Father, because your loving kindness is everlasting
mm-hmm.
and your faithfulness to all generations. Well, that would include ours.
Yes, it would.
And the ones afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I got two more. How many you got? You get two? Or you got three yet or no? You got great-grandchildren?
Oh, no, I got 10 of them. No, nine.
And grandchildren, but no great-grandchildren yet.
No parts yet.
So you're up to two.
Yeah, the oldest grandchild is like 16 or 17, I think.
Okay, well, it's not too far then.
No, it's not.
If the Lord carries. And, you know, maybe 10 years, you'll have another level. That'll be cool.
Yeah, well.
That's a nice generation. But he's faithful to that generation. Mm-hmm. He's faithful to all the ones before me and all the ones I got going on now. Mm-hmm. We praise you, Lord, because Amen. Your loving kindness is everlasting.
Amen.
Okay. And then we read the only way into the city of God.
Okay.
Now, Isaiah.
Well, before you get to Isaiah, what is this gates require praise stuff? I don't know.
That's what it is. That's what it says. In 60:18,
okay.
Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thy walls shall be salvation and thy gates praise.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I just didn't read down far enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in other words, that's the gate
mm-hmm.
to yeah. heaven.
Okay.
Okay. It's not like I guess it's probably a physical gate too, but it's probably harmonious, you know? If I can imagine all these other dimensions, your singing of praise sets the key and the tone of vibration, which click unlocks that big old gate.
Mm.
Well, how do you get in here? Well, I got to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. So there we go. And they kind of all fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's just a bunch of things. In Psalm 22, you are holy who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Mm-hmm. So it's a seat as well.
Yeah.
So this is fun. There's so much mm-hmm. more, but we got to go because the first half is done.
Yeah.
You guys aren't going to want to miss the second half.
No.
Because we're going to teach something that is not common knowledge in today's church. And that's going to be fun and interesting. But we'll come back singing his praises yet again. And then in the meantime, if you are not saved, you can actually do that now. Well, that's our Christianese. Saved mm-hmm. means you were bought. Okay. You were on the slave block. All right, because of your sin, and the wages of sin is death. Now, Jesus said, I'll pay off that debt for you, and I'll purchase you. So he has redeemed you. That's what the word redeemed means mm-hmm. with that song. I've been redeemed. And then all you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I will accept that contract, and I will come with you and give him all the praise. All right, we'll see you guys in the second half. Don't miss it. Bye.
Have a message the world needs to hear. Revelation Radio is opening the door for new hosts right now. Launch your own show with no setup fees, no contracts, and worldwide reach through our AM broadcast and global platform. Choose a free 30-minute barter-based program or upgrade to a donation-based show up to 2 hours commercial-free. You bring your voice. We provide the platform, branding, help, and promotion. Visit revelationradio.net and click hosting opportunities to get started today.
Are you ready to live your faith with purpose? Join Norman and Susan Smith on Run With Horses, a bold, biblical show that equips you to grow deeper, lead stronger, and live on mission for Christ. Be sure to join Norman and Susan weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio. It's time for you to stop walking and learn how you truly can run with horses.
So look at that. We are back.
Yes, sir.
We were just busy praising the Lord. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got a bit of an interesting news for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we were talking a little bit about this in the past, but did you know that the coyotes are actually faster than roadrunners?
No, I didn't. Oh, I mean, yeah. I used to watch that Roadrunner cartoon all the time.
I feel like my whole childhood was a lie. I was like, I mean, remember him? Wild E. Coyote.
Mm-hmm. That poor coyote.
Super genius.
He should have died about 2,000 times.
Yeah, Acme. All right, cool. So we were talking about praising the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you enter the gates, right? We enter the gates with thanksgiving and then enter his courts with praise. So the thanksgiving praise, it says in Isaiah 60. So all this is how you get into the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about some other stuff in a minute, but I got a couple more verses on praise.
Okay.
You want to hear them?
Sure.
Or actually you want to read them? They're all in Psalms. Duh.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You go Psalm 22.
Okay, 22:3 is, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. And then
nice.
Psalm.
Oh, wait. We got to talk about each one in a way.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So now, it not only are the gates made of praise, but the throne of God is made of praise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how does he sit on a throne? By praises. That's wild, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Talk about other dimensions. Cool. All right, sorry, go ahead.
No, you ready for the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. This is Psalm 106, 47. Save us, O Lord. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise.
Mm-hmm. So now, when you gather, now we could glory in his praise. So it's like swimming in a pool, kind of, you know,
okay.
A pool full of praise. We're just going to wow and praise the Lord. And that's kind of where the music is. You know, that's all praise where we sing, because you're singing, you know, and praise isn't like a lot of the songs today are, you know, like they could be a prayer list or they're just like the same verse 10 times. But you really got to make sure that they're actually praise. And what is praise? It's telling of all the good things he has done.
Mm-hmm.
Great. He's greatly to be praised. The mountain of holiness. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's made the stars and the whole universe. He's created us in his image. These are all praiseworthy things.
Right.
And that's what we do. We sing about those things. And why do we sing about them? Because that helps you remember. I still remember songs from when I was a kid.
I do too. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember Imus in the Morning.
Oh yeah. Now, of course, I didn't follow him too much because he was, you know, he's from New York, and we had Kid Craddock down here. So
okay.
Yeah, competing.
So Imus was there. He shaped up in the end, but my mother used to listen to him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had he's quite you know, worldly, we'll say, but every time Billy Joe Bob, the preacher, would come on, I still remember the song. It says, I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus right on the dashboard of my heart. I can roll 100 miles an hour, as long as I got the almighty power sitting on the dashboard of my heart.
Seems like I remember that. I said, every now and then I'd catch an episode of that guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's actually pretty good, because that plastic Jesus is reminding me that Jesus is in control. I think Carrie Underwood made a new song, "Jesus Take the Wheel."
Yeah,
I wonder if that was that little plastic Jesus. If he's up there, Anyway, sorry.
Oh, man.
It's where my mind goes. Sorry, people. But because when you sing, you remember stuff. That was my point.
Okay.
So we remember his praise, and that's why we sing, so we can remember what to praise him for.
Okay.
And then Psalm 116.
Okay, 116 verse 17. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
So it's a sacrifice. So you're probably not going to want to do it all the time, especially when you're in the middle of something. You know, I know, you know, when there's troubled times in my life, you know, it's hard to come out when I'm having like whatever problems, mm-hmm. You know, relationship, otherwise family. And it's hard to be thankful to say, yeah. Oh, Father, I'm thankful that, you know, you actually saved this person. Even though, you know, it's not at this point in time, I know it's going to be in the future. It's hard to be thankful there. So it is a mm-hmm. sacrifice, you mm-hmm. know, and it's something mm-hmm. where we have to give up our own emotions. You know, it's easy to say now, but when you're smack in the middle of that emotions and you're like, thank you for your person. Thank you for my wife. And that's a sacrifice on different. And then you call upon his name. Help me, please. Help. God, help me, please.
Yes. Yes. I've done that. I have done that.
And then you say, thank you for helping me. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how you get through. That's how you get your praises answered, if mm-hmm. that's the way. Mm-hmm. All right. So Psalm 50.
Okay. Psalm 50, verse 23 is, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Now, you're going to have to break that one down, because that one's hard for me. The way it's written here is hard for me to grasp.
Okay. So in other words, if you act right and you offers praise, in other words, if you're praising the Lord, he is good. Mm-hmm. You know, his mercy endures forever. Okay. He is kind. He is, look at all of these different flowers. That's wild. You know, look how mm-hmm. beautiful he is. Mm-hmm. Look how much he's loved me that mm-hmm. he, you know, gave his son to come down and die for me. You know, now you're praising the Lord. And all these different things.
I gotta say this. What you just said there really blew my mind. I gotta testify.
All right, go.
I gotta testify. Go. Okay. I was in the Gulf of Mexico, or the Gulf of America, yeah. I'm sorry. Hmm. And I don't swim.
Okay.
And I was way, way out. And there was no hope. And mm-hmm. I reached down with my foot and I couldn't touch the bottom. And mm-hmm. I almost went into freakout mode. Now, people have heard this story before, and they know that that's the moment that I really began to get conscious of the Lord, and that finally brought me to true salvation. But here's the deal: before that happened, mm-hmm. while things were wonderful, and I could touch the bottom, and I was just floating around out there, I was looking around and said, this is just beautiful. Why in the world can't people understand the glory of God? Mm. Now that this, this couldn't be from, just something blowing up nothing. You know, this is, look at the birds, look at all this. And I'm looking at this and I've said, whoever offers praise glorifies me. Well, I didn't realize it, but I was doing that.
Yeah.
And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. In other words,
amen.
I'm going to save you now because you glorify. Yes. That jumped out at me. Verse has now become my favorite verse in the Bible.
There's your verse.
There it is.
Yes, right there. Let's turn to the verse of JD, please.
I got it now. Thank you for including that one, David.
Chapter 50.
Yeah, that is now my memory verse for life right there.
Yeah, it is. Because you praise him and he's like, okay, salvation, here it comes.
There you go. Okay.
Praise God. And that's it. You praise mm-hmm. him. Listen, he'll show up. Mm-hmm. And salvation is everything. When he talks about, hey, these people were healed, it's the same word, sozo. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like a T-S, sozo. We say Z. Okay. Like a T-S. So it's sozo, and it's he was healed, he was saved, he was a bunch of different things. It's translated. It's all the same word. You were saved, mm-hmm. okay, and that's mm-hmm. what it means: saved, delivered, healed. It's nothing missing, nothing broken, kind of an mm-hmm. idea.
Okay,
it's all fixed up, ready to go, patched wow. up, all new.
Wow!
All right,
incredible.
God is good. So
yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you showed your salvation to JD
yeah.
right after he praised you.
Yes. Thank you so mm-hmm. much, Lord.
So he fights our battles, too. Did you know that?
Yes.
Ah, so in the Chronicles, remember the Chronicles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds boring, but they just chronicle history. That's what it is. And then I think Kings was in there, too. They call them all like one Kings, two Kings, three Kings, four Kings. Mm-hmm. Then in English, they kind of change the name a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's just that this is the history of Israel. Here it is. So in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, it says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord." Why? Because his mercy endures forever.
Forever.
So if you're going into a battle, what's the first thing you do? You thank him for all these good things. You praise him, right? And then what happens? He goes to fight your battle, because later on we'll see that he said, you don't have to go out there. Here, they're going to come around this mountain, you know, when he comes. And then don't worry about it. I'll take care of this because you sent the army out, or sent the praisers out ahead of the army. And that's just amazing to me. So it also led me to this. You know, I used to be in the choir, and I noticed something. That if anything happens in a church, he attacks the choir first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've never seen so many things come through the choir, particularly, you know, unfaithfulness, which is really wild.
Okay.
You know, and I think they attack that because then, you know, then everybody in the entire congregation knows that, you know, you had an affair. And they're watching you up there singing praises to the Lord. That just ruins the entire testimony.
Well, I know growing up, and I'm not going to say the man's name, but growing up, we used to make fun of a guy. He was a really hardworking guy. He was a deacon and everything else, but he was in the choir. And it never failed on Sunday mornings. Somewhere during the sermon, he was going to fall asleep. And that head was going to go back, you know, and I mean, it's not like you could hear him or anything, but it was just funny, you know, to us as kids, it was funny.
Well, that's not nearly as bad as adultery, but okay.
Yeah. There he goes. No, it's not. But that's the only half bad story, I guess, I got on the choir.
Yeah. And I can think back and now. Most of the people that I was in the choir with, it caught up in some kind of nonsense. I know, you know, one who was even like a so-called elder in the church, had with his babysitter, 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
And like, so I don't know if he's still in jail now. Might be. I don't know how long you get for that.
I don't know.
We used to say 15 will get you 20. And so I don't know how long he's been, but that kind of ruined that testimony. But it always act the praisers first.
We did have a choir director or whatever in the church that I was in as a child that had an affair, you know, and I mean, everybody knew about it. So, I mean, I didn't even know what an affair was at that particular age, but, you know, everybody knew about it. And his house was like almost right adjacent to the church. And, you know, he was gone. In short even, order.
Even the spouse of the principal. The principal was a lady, and her husband was singing next to me all the time. And then all of a sudden, I was like, hey, where'd he go? I was like, well, like, you got to be kidding me. And she's the principal of the Christian school and all this other stuff, man. Because he was praising. And they would attack. And, you know, I would get attacks, not in that area, but I would get attacks where my weakness was, and that was anger, you know, because I was brought up with angry parents because they were drunk all the time, you know, and until I grew out of that. I mean, that was 30 years ago now. So Lord, you know, heal me of that. When you get tired of it, it's like, wow, this is exhausting to be angry at everything.
Well, mine was carousing, seeing as how we're exposing ourselves here. Mine was carousing, you know, smoking, drinking, you know, cursing like a sailor, all that stuff, all while calling myself a Christian. You know, that was me as a in my youthful days.
So, okay.
Yeah. Glad to have it.
Did I tell you about the old lady who bought a parrot from a sailor?
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, this happened. I remember the old lady.
You did. I can't remember the story, but I remember it now. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, the parrot had a foul mouth, so you know, and she got it. And this is just before Thanksgiving last month, so you know, and she told him, "You better stop that." Okay. Mm-hmm. And the parrot's like, "Well, why?" You know, my previous owner, that's how he talked. He's like, "Yeah, well, we don't talk around here about, like that around here because, you know, this is a Christian home." Mm-hmm. So she's like, "You got to stop. You're going to get punished." So he does it again. I say, "Listen, I told you. Now that's your last warning. If you do it again, I'm going to put you in the freezer." So, because, you know, it's a tropical parrot. Mm-hmm. So, sure enough, he starts cursing again because that's all the words he knows, you know, from the sailor that owned him before. And so she throws him in the freezer, 20 minutes, right? Mm. Comes out, freezing. She says, "Well, I hope you learned your lesson." She goes, I did. I'm not going to curse again, but I have one question for you. She goes, "Well, what is it? What did that turkey in there do?"
There you go.
So there's that.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Back to the topic.
Okay.
When we praise him, mm-hmm. the Lord fights our battles for us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just know that when you go out front, that's Satan's going to try to attack there. So just keep yourself clean. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just like us as a teacher, I am held ultra responsible because I'm teaching other people about the word.
Amen.
So that's why I'm like, crystal clear if this is, hey, I'm going to find out what the word says, and that's what I'm going to teach, and it doesn't matter whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach what God says.
That's what we try to do on every show. We don't try to.
And, I may be incorrect, but it's not because of selfishness.
Right.
It's like there's some things that, well, I really don't like this, but that's what it says. So that's what we do.
And sometimes you misspeak. You know, anybody can make a.
I'm not perfect, but my heart is pure there.
There you go. Yeah.
Because I don't want to face that. Yeah. Oh, but you said this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See Peter with his glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
Does Peter have glasses? So, okay, we're going to move on to worship.
Okay.
Now, when I say worship in Christianese, what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, it's praise, you know, but I understand what you're saying because I see it here. acknowledging God's holiness, not a primary. Well, okay, I'm just going to read it here. Okay.
Wait. Let's go back.
Okay.
Because these people are thinking, and what they've been taught, I can guarantee you, probably 95% of the people out there are saying, "Oh, worship is, you know, praise is the fast music and worship's the slow music."
Oh, okay. Well, see, I would just saying? Actually, if I was going to do it, you know, I would say, "Oh, being in church, you know, being in a group of people, you know, and you're worshiping."
Are you doing all this?
Yeah,
you know?
That would be the first thing.
It's a little closer.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
but they call it the praise and worship team, and worship is not really about music. Okay, because when Abraham or Abram at the time brought Isaac up the mountain, Abraham. He brought Isaac up, and what did he do? He went up to worship the Lord.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they have a band with him? No, he brought sticks and he was going to burn his son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
he was going to kill him first when he was.
Yeah,
nice,
he was going to kill him and sacrifice him over the altar.
Yep.
So, So that was worship. Well, how is that worship? Because worship is not primarily an utterance; it's an attitude of the body. And indeed, your whole inner being. Okay, so if I'm bowing down the head every single time you see worship in the Old and New Testament, it is a posture of some kind.
Yes,
a bowing of the head, a stretching of the hands, or a kneeling down.
Yeah, or okay? laying out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, laying out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the little boy. And he's 6 years old, and he just wants to jump all over the place. So he's jumping on the pews at church, right? Jumping all over. And his mother's like, you're going to get punished if you don't sit down and be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
So he sits down and he's, oh, man, and he says, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm jumping around on the inside.
Well, you know, you said something about, Abraham and sacrifice there. Yeah, that is worship because he put his faith in God 100%. Yeah. God said, you know, number one, God had already told him he's going to have more descendants than you can count stars or sand on the seashore. Mm-hmm. And he's got one child. And God says, now you're going to sacrifice that one child, and the chances of him having any more, especially with Sarah, was almost, well, you know, it was as impossible as the first time around.
Yeah, even so, impossible.
Yeah. So, you know, he had to have a complete trust in God, and he worshiped the Lord 100%. And that's, you know, anyway, for whatever it's worth, that came to my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we see in Isaiah, people don't realize this, but the seraphim, remember the seraphim? They got the wings and mm-hmm. did all that stuff.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. in 6:2, it says above it stood the seraphims. Mm-hmm. And seraph is, they're like flaming things.
Okay. You know? Okay.
Chances are that Satan was a flamey thing too. Mm. But he was like the big one. He was the hoopa, the covering angel.
Mm-hmm.
His job was to cover the throne and protect it. And he's like, hey, people worship me. It's not. That didn't work out too well for him.
No.
So, but each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. Two, he covered his feet. And two, he flew. Mm,
okay.
So you see three different types of worship in there. And it's interesting that we don't have enough time to get into what each of those means, but you'll see the difference there.
Okay.
And it's all worship, but it had something to do with where they were and what they were doing with them.
Okay.
And then even Isaiah, a couple verses later, says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I have a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So he's obviously bowing down. He's like, don't even look at me. I'm hideous. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the angel's like, I got this burning coal. Let me touch your lips with it. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Trust you. So there's that. But the whole idea is that's what the worship is. It wasn't him singing. It was the attitude that you had. I am undone. Oh, Father, you are so holy. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. Mm-hmm. And the angels are covering their face, covering their feet, what they see and do, how they're walking, and then they're flying. So it's pretty wild. So you want to read Psalm 95, Thanksgiving, sure. Praise, and worship, all wrapped up into one verse.
Okay. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence in thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
There you go. Worship is bowing down and kneeling before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Showing his. Now, you know why people kneeled back then and bowed their head?
I don't understand the question. Try again.
All right, so people would bow down and kneel, and you'd go like this in front of somebody. That is offering the back of your neck because they had a sword, and you're saying, my life is in your hands. You could cut off my head right now, and I wouldn't even see it coming, basically.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're doing. You're offering your whole life,
mm-hmm.
you know? My life is in your hands,
wow.
basically.
Okay. I never knew that. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense, but I never knew that.
And that's why they had to kneel down, because you make yourself lower and it'd be real easy to just cut your head off.
Mm,
okay. But God is merciful and long suffering, so he didn't cut your head off.
Mm.
All right. So there's a lot more verses on worship. However, for the limited amount of time we have left, let's jump into the legalities of this.
Okay.
Okay. Thanksgiving is the legal permission to enter the house. Okay. We'll enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. It establishes a covenant recognition. So we're going into the courts again here. So that's really cool. Okay. Like before our Father, which art in heaven, you know, the temple veil was torn in two when Jesus shed his blood and was crucified. Mm-hmm. It was because you weren't allowed to go in there before. But now that thing was 30 feet high and like a foot thick of woven stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just tore it in half.
Yeah.
Here's this. Obviously, someone else didn't do it.
Top to bottom.
So Thanksgiving establishes covenant recognition. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing, the believer is acknowledging in the courts who God is, what he has done, and that every blessing is covenantal, which means it's by contract. Okay. All these blessings are by contract. And how do you get that? Well, you acknowledge that he is God. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's Thanksgiving and saying that contract that you signed, we're going to bring that here right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. You are God the Father. This is what you've done. Thank you for that. So, and it just immediately acknowledges it. You know, and how did the believers overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and love not their life unto death. Bow down your head. Mm-hmm. You're going to kill me, you kill me. So, and that's what the blood of the grape, you know, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. Mm-hmm. That means unto death. Mm-hmm. I will die before I break this contract. Okay. So Thanksgiving is a password. And that's the sacrifice of Thanksgiving we read in Psalm 16. Mm-hmm. And then it repairs a legal standing. All right. So if your wages of sin is death, well, we're going to thank God for the contract that he gave us. You're repairing your legal standing before God. So it reverses your posture and places us back in covenant alignment. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Okay, we're running out. Praise is stepping into the courts or the judicial realm. Now we're going to praise him. It activates God's governmental presence. He inhabits the praises of his people, Psalm 22:3. So he lives in your praises. It sits enthroned. You know, that's his throne again. Remember, this is where he's living. If he's sitting down, he's like, hey, I'm hanging out in your house. Mm-hmm. Praise also silences the accuser. Remember? The accuser of the brethren.
Right.
Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. That's that word is, as we know, Antidikos, the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. It silences him. I'm praising the Lord.
Right.
That silences the devil. So it's a legal weapon. Remember Jehoshaphat back in Chronicles? So they sent the singers ahead of the army, and God himself executed judgment on Israel's enemies. So that's the courtroom verdict, okay? Then the Holy Spirit is the bailiff, and he sends out his deputies to go and do this. So worship is standing before the throne itself. The Father seeks worshipers, like in John 4:23. Mm-hmm. It shifts earth into heaven's frequencies. You know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And it gives access to revelation. Okay. When you worship him, that's what John did. You know, that's what Daniel did. You see into the glory. Okay. So it opens the gates, enter the courts, and we stand before the throne of God. Praise or thanksgiving, praise and worship. That's how you get your prayers answered. Well, it starts with this. Jesus paid off all of your sin debt. Okay, if he was not God, he couldn't do that. If he did not become a man, he couldn't do that. But he did that for you. God sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't, you're already condemned. So I would recommend you accept that contract before him. Just ask him right now. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys on the next show. You be blessed. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the weekly comprehensive Bible study with Reverend David Paxton. We pray today's teaching strengthened your faith, deepened your understanding, and drew you closer to the heart of God. Remember, truth is not shifting, scripture is not optional, and discipleship is a daily walk. Join us each week as we continue exploring the unchanging Word of the living God. Until next time, stay grounded, stay watchful, and stay faithful to the calling of Jesus Christ.
Have you ever wanted your own radio show? Revelation Radio is opening the door right now. Host your program across East Texas and worldwide online. With no setup fees and no contracts, choose a free 30-minute barter slot or a donation-based show up to 2 full hours commercial-free. You bring the content. We provide the platform, branding help, promos, and global reach. Your message deserves an audience. Go to revelationradio.net, click hosting opportunities, and get started today.